Yabayana moved up on the outside of Hinge. They're clear then from Monophilia. Mawunga can't go on, but it is William Haggis going to do it again. Yabayana's three lengths clear. Last year's winner, Monophilia, can't get there, and Yabayana can't handle a dry track. Look at him go. Yabayana ripped clear to win it by five lengths to Monophilia.
Oh, it was the most dominant win of the day on Saturday, Dubai Honor, and it ended up rating through the roof with Dan O'Sullivan, who is the ratings guru, and joins us for a more in-depth look at all of the ratings figures from the weekend, and maybe we'll look ahead to the Australian Cup and William Reid as well. Good morning, Daniel. How are you?
Yeah, morning, Michael. Really well.
How does that figure and that run of Dubai Honor compare to some of the other big internationals we've seen come out here and put in performances like that?
Look, it's right up there, Michael. It's on par with, you know, the best international performances we've seen out here. When I look back, I think Cross Counter, normalised the weight for age, ran 108.5 when he won the Melbourne Cup. We've had a bunch of others run 108. That includes Dubai Honor, Lee Rousseau, and there's been, I think, Ben Battle ran 108 when he was in the Cox Plate. So, yeah, it's right up there with the best international performances that we've seen in Australia. And, yeah, it was certainly elite, especially by, you know, our weight grade standards.
It's pretty stunning, isn't it? Now, sometimes the internationals can do that first time they arrive here. Whether they can reproduce a figure of that is the question, because if he does, can Animo beat him?
Look, at the moment, that performance by Dubai Honor on Saturday is about a length and a half on my rating better than Animo's Cox Plate peak. So, look, it does set up a great race in the Queen Elizabeth. We know that Animo is so consistent and reliable, especially in his target races. As you mentioned, Dubai Honor's only done that once in Australia so far, so there's a natural uncertainty there about whether he's going to repeat. So, look, it's an enticing clash. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. There'll be other competition there as well. The other thing about Animo is can the extra competition created by Dubai Honor, you know, draw him to a new level as well? Mm. I mean, I put Animo very much in the mold of Octagonal, that he rarely wins by a dominant margin, but his record shows that he just wins more often than not. So, you know, if faced with that stiffer competition, will he elevate and go to a new peak and be able to topple Dubai Honor?
I don't know if you do figures on the internationals in their overseas runs. Have you looked at what Dubai Honor's rated overseas before he came out here before?
Yeah, so he was around 105.5, so he's gone ahead slightly to a better figure, which always raises a bit of a query. It did make me double-check because he is an older, more exposed horse. But we have had a few internationals come over here and improve on their overseas form. Dave was a great one. He came here and was also in the ramp, but went to a new level. He then returned home and went even better again and brought that improved form back to Australia. So there's certainly precedent that the overseas horses can come here and slightly improve on their best figures from racing at home.
It's fascinating to see how it plays out heading towards the Queen Elizabeth. And William Haggis, he's got the special elixir with these internationals when they arrive in Australia. I'm also really keen to get your thoughts on how this Golden Slipper rated, because it has been a hoodoo race for the winners coming out of it. But Shinzo, he almost looks like he's got the most upside of any recent slipper winner we've seen.
Well, certainly going into the race, all the reports out of the Shinzo camp were that they felt he'll almost certainly be a better three-year-old. Everything that he was doing and his physical makeup said that. And I think there was even a comment from James McDonald at one stage that anything the horse does, this preparation will be a bonus on his three-year-old season. We've claimed the ultimate prize for two-year-olds. Look, that's with a rated slightly better, a fraction better than the average since 2017. So it was a solid edition of the Golden Slipper. It's certainly better than the fillies that we've seen winning recent times, like Fireburn, Kiyomichi, and Esterjet. On par with Farnan in 2020, 104.5. But, yeah, a little bit behind the likes of that we've seen over time, like Stay Inside a couple of years ago was about half a length better. Piero, Overreach, Sepoy, all of those winners have been superior to Shinzo. But, yeah, look, it was still a very solid rating Golden Slipper in the context of history. It was a fast, high-pressure race, so I think we can take from that that, you know, horses generally had their chances and the best horse won, even though he did have all the favours. And, yeah, look, if it's anywhere near true that he's going to be a better three-year-old, then it's very exciting time ahead for him, that's for sure.
We've been talking about it for a long time, about the entire depth of the two-year-olds. We've pretty much got the full report now. The major two-year-old races over 1,200 have been run and won. So what's your assessment of the overall group of two-year-olds?
Look, I think it was okay. The Blue Diamond winner, Little Growers, rated, you know, solid for Blue Diamond winners. Certainly not up there with the best, but certainly well above the sort of bottom. And was around in the middle of the pack. And as I mentioned, Shinzo was similar, perhaps slightly above the average from the last 5 or 6 years. Behind them, look, Cylinder went into the Golden Slipper as favourite, slightly improved on his Todman rating, so he's 101.5, exceeds 100. There's a bunch of horses around that sort of high 90s level, so I think we're on par with most recent seasons. I certainly wouldn't call it a strong crop, but at the same time, there's no reason to say that it's down on what we would normally expect.
How do you rate the Stain three-year-old group that we've got? Lindemann beating Pericles in the Guineas?
Look, I think they are probably, a touch off, you know, what we should expect, I guess. I mean, it is very volatile, especially when you get to that middle distance range where we've seen some superstars come through over the years and we've seen some sort of weak seasons. So Lindemann winning the Rosehill Guineas, he's rated, you know, round, if you think about horses like D'Argento, Mwanga and even Gingina, and then at a level above him, you've got a horse like Castelvecchio, and then if you want to go another level up, we've got winners like Animo and then the Awesome Sun, who's the benchmark of Rosehill Guineas in recent years. So, yeah, look, I certainly wouldn't say it was a weak Rosehill Guineas, perhaps a little bit below the average, but it's still quite solid form.
Bank Moore's going to back up and run in the Australian Cup. How did his win in the Alistair Clark rate?
Oh, look, he's around 96.8, let's call it 97. So I think the Australian Cup on Saturday, you've probably going to need at least 101.5 and maybe up to 103. So, look, he's probably just quickly doing some math there. He's probably like a good 3 to 4 lengths off the level that'll be needed to getting the finish of that race. So, on that basis, it looks like he's got a bit of work to do.
There's been a lot of talk about the All-Star Mile and how it rated. The big gun was at the top. Mr. Brightside, who's now second favourite for the Doncaster. Was that his best performance on Saturday from a ratings point of view?
It was marginally his best performance. So I've got another big rating for him from when he won an earlier race at Moonee Valley. Interestingly, that was a slow run race where he ran nominal sectionals to, I think it was the Fee and Stakes that he won, over 1,600, and the All-Star Mile on Saturday was a fast, high-pressure race, so he's shown himself equally capable in both scenarios, and his rating and performance was on par, give or take, you know, rounding figures, with Darky and Mugatu from the years before, and better than Regal Power in 2019. Missy Journey in the very first edition of the All-Star Mile still remains the benchmark for that race, about a length better than the most recent winners that I mentioned.
The Inevitable, did he go to a new peak figure?
Yes, he did, a slight new peak. Again, I've got him running some really big ratings back in 2019, which is a long time ago now. He bolted in a race at Moonee Valley by about 4 lengths and also won, I think it was the Silver Eagle, if memory serves me correctly. But look, he's gone significantly better, a good sort of 2.5 lengths. Better than his recent form in Tasmania and certainly his form that we've seen in the past couple of years from him. So it's a phenomenal training effort to get a horse at the time that it really counted, I guess, in the All-Star Mile, just to take a big step up and wind back the clock to his best of his entire career so far.
To the eye on Saturday, it looked like Alligator Blood didn't run up to his best standard. What did the ratings figures say?
Look, he was a little bit off that. So his best rating probably just would have shaded Mr. Brightside. If he had run up to that, he could have won that race. But look, the circumstances were against him. He didn't get control at front with Keith there. It was a very fast run race, and we saw Alligator Blood sort of settle a little bit off, and that's probably not ideal for him. But look, 101.7, he still ran quite well, so I don't think it should take anything away from his reputation at all. I think it just showed that he is better when he can get control in front, and the All-Star Mile certainly didn't offer him that scenario.
Overall, the depth, we debated quite a lot of open weight for age group. How's the depth at the moment? Do you see it?
Oh, there's no doubt it's well below par. I think that's well discussed and documented, and I can only agree with that. I mean, the races, our best races rating, perhaps anywhere from a length or more sort of off from what I would personally consider to be really solid Group 1 weight for age standard, and obviously further away from some of the better weight for age horses that we've seen. But look, that's just the way it is. It doesn't take away from, I think, the excitement of these races, because as we saw, in a race like the All-Star Mile and even the Rider won by Animo, that we still get some very competitive and exciting races that can still be great betting contest. In some respects, when you do have dominant horses like Winx, it really does stifle betting action and excitement in that respect, because we think the result is almost or as close as guaranteed as you can get in racing. So, even though it is below par, I still don't see a major problem with it. It is what it is. We're still getting very competitive racing and a lot of good betting events.
Who do you think is the best three-year-old filly from what we've seen at the moment in the autumn?
Definitely In Secret. Her Newmarket win was another new peak. She's got a bank of ratings now that both in a quality and consistency sense sort of put her above the other three-year-old fillies. So, for me, I think that's a fairly clear-cut one, that she's the best filly.
And how does she rate up against a Giga Kick and then, conversely, Nature Strip heading towards the TJ?
Yeah, interestingly, her running the Newmarket to win that when normalised to weight for age equaled the performance of Giga Kick in the Everest. So their absolute peaks are very much on par. I guess if you're looking at a race like the TJ Smith, you can say Giga Kick has run his at 1200 at Randwick, whereas In Secret's two best performances have come up the Flemington Straight. So that's an angle there. Look, Nature Strip best comfortably beats both of those horses. He's run some world-class 110-plus ratings. The big question, of course, is whether he's still at that level. After sort of the end of last preparation and also his first-up run, and as an ageing horse, it does sort of raise those questions, and that's going to make the TJ Smith a really interesting and exciting event, because while he was below par first up by his normal standards, he does have a strong history of being able to bounce back from those performances, Nature Strip. So, I think it's fair to say that on his best, he still comfortably handles anything else we've got running around at the moment. But if he's past his prime, then, it's very much race on with quite a few potential winners in a race like the TJ Smith.
It's going to be interesting, because those elite sprinters aren't in the William Reid, the top tier sprinters, which gives a few up and comers a chance. Now, Benedetta is probably unlikely to head to the William Reid, but how have you rated her recent performances?
Yeah, 102.5 when she won up the Flemington Straight, which is bordering on that. Well, it is at a level that can be competitive in Group 1 weight for age races, and certainly win one of the Group 1s where we don't get the very best sprinters in the land sort of heading towards. Again, that was up the Flemington Straight, so there would be, some uncertainty whether she could run to that level around Mooney Valley, but as you said, she may not sort of go to that race. But, she elevated massively from her previous form and all of a sudden opened up all the avenues for all of these group class and, as I said, even Group 1 sprint races for her.
Mm. Does Imperatriz deserve to be the short price favourite with that form in New Zealand and then the run behind Artorias?
I think she's probably a little bit short, to be honest. On her peak rating, she certainly deserves to be a clear-cut favourite. She's got a couple of massive ratings over there in New Zealand. Her run in Sydney where she was behind Artorias was around 101.8. She's got many ratings in New Zealand around that mark, so I guess that's her standard level of form. And then she, a couple of times, has gone significantly better than that. But look, off that last start run, that's her run in Australia. I think that's the most relevant race to judge her on for the William Reid. And there's plenty of horses that can match her at that level. Jigsaw's one off his Australian Stakes win was slightly better than Imperatrix. Again, he has to back that up. And there's another Kiwi there, Babylon Berlin, who comes over from a massive seven-length win back home, which actually rates better than Imperatrix ran in her first Australian run. Again, that was a big spike for Babylon Berlin, but she's got very, very solid form around the 100 rating level, which is competitive. She's a front runner with good early speed and suited around Mooney Valley, and I think sort of big odds in the market. So there's certainly plenty of competition there for Imperatrix. So, at this stage, I'd say she's probably a touch short.
It's a very open Australian Cup. We haven't got the final field as yet. Who's going to be lining up? But is there a horse on ratings that stands out to you?
Well, Cascadian will, assuming he goes there, will be the best rated horse in the race. I'm not up to date whether he is going to sort of head down there. But look, he's a horse that relishes a fast speed, and he got that last start. And when the speed is more even, then he's a little bit more vulnerable in terms of his rating. So while he's the best rated horse in the race, he's certainly beatable, especially if it isn't a fast run race. Nonconformist is right sort of on his backside within a length, and then there's a couple of others just behind those. So again, while it's probably not going to be the strongest group run of the season, or definitely won't be, it's going to be a very, very competitive race with plenty of betting angles. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Daniel, wonderful to get your assessment, especially of Dubai Honour in the build-up to what will be a fascinating Queen Elizabeth. We'll keep in touch towards the back end of the Sydney Autumn Carnival. Appreciate your time once again.
No problem. Cheers, Michael.